Tonight's shiur, Parshas Balak. It's very strange, the whole Mahalach with Hashem and Bilaam. Why? First, when Balak sends his men to ask Bilaam to come curse Klal Yisrael, what does Hashem say? Lo telech imahem, don't go with them. So fine, he says, I can't go with you. Later he sends further shlichim to Bilaam, and then all of a sudden the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Kum lechitam. Yes, im likor lecha bau anashim, kum lechitam. So what is it? Don't go with them. Yes, go with them. The truth is, this isn't a new question. The Gemara in Maseches Makos asks this question on the Yud Amud Beis, and says the Gemara, we learn from here a big klal in the way Hashem runs the world, runs people more specifically, and that is b'derech shadam rotzei lelech ba molichin oso. That the way a person wants to go, that's how he is led. That Hashem saw how strongly Bilaam really wanted to go, so Hashem said, okay, you want to go, so fine, go, but it's not going to be good for you. But that's the way Hashem works. Hashem pushes a person, whether for the good or for the bad, the way the person wants to go. It's a famous question the Marsha addresses, and that is the Lashon in the Gemara, though. What's the idea? B'derech shadam rotzei lelech molichin oso. Molichin is a plural Lashon. Right? Who's pushing, who leads the person on? Hashem. So it should have said, "V'derech shadam rotzei lelech ba molichoto." Hashem is molichim. Why molichin? Why the plural? Who are these many people that are pushing? It says the Marsha. In fact, it's not many people, but it's melachim. There are angels that are created, says the Marsha, with every machshava, dibur, maisa the person does, he creates a malach in that inyan. So a person has the desire to do something, malach's created. Another malach created. There could be a whole series, a whole set of malachim up there, and they push him to do it again. He wanted to do creates a malach. That pushes him. If he has a few times his desire, he's a few malachim, and they all push him to do it next time. So that's the molichin also. So we see over here the importance of the opposite. A person has good machshavas, good ideas, things he'd like to do. So then the malachim push him to do the good. So halavai, we should have in mind to do good things and have all these positive malachim pushing us to do so. The interesting mashal given, I believe it's from the Chafetz Chaim, and he says the following. Once there was a man, and he was working on a very difficult mesechet, and worked on it for a long, long time, and Baruch Hashem, he was Matzliach to Messiah the Mesechet. So he made a big, big siyum, called all his friends, neighbors, Gansa Mishpacha. He made a big, 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 big party for his siyum. So what happens? However, things got a little bit carried away, and he started drinking a little bit more, until Nabach, the guy, Mamish, got totally drunk out of his mind. That wouldn't be so bad. But in his drunkenness, what did he do? He stripped himself of all his clothes, and being totally naked, he stood on the table and started dancing at his siyum. Nebuch, okay, so he eventually fell asleep that night, woke up the next morning, and he heard what had happened, and you can imagine. He didn't want to leave his house. He was so embarrassed. How can he leave after what he did? How can he show his face in public? So, sure enough, he was locked in his house for a month. Finally, he says, okay, hopefully by now, you know, the things, people forgot this. So he goes out. As soon as he walks out of the house, there's the guy. he says he couldn't. He had to, I gotta leave. I can't live here anymore. So he moved to another city. Think it was any better? No. Chaver to chaver Yisrael. One person tells the other, when word got to the next city. And there also people were laughing at him. So he moved to a different country, moved to Europe. Still, people are laughing at him. He went to America. Didn't help. His name followed him. Wherever he went, what he had done, he was reminded of constantly. And not only that, it didn't even end there. From generation to generation, his children used to get together, and once a year, anniversary of this event, and discussed what their father had done. Never ending story. That's the mashal. Of course, it's a mashal. But what is a nimshal? Says the Chafetz Chaim, who is this guy? We actually all know him. You're saying, yeah? Who is he? Who is he? Two letters. Noach. Noach! That's exactly what happened to Noach. Noach made a big siyum. He had a difficult siyum, a siyum of being in the teva for many, 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 many days, many weeks, many months, and serving hand and foot all these animals, feeding them day in and day out, day and night. Finally, it came to an end. He made a siyum of this mesechet. What did he do? He planted a vineyard. That's what he did. Planted a vineyard, and he got drunk. That's the first thing he did after celebrate. He got drunk, and he became a laughing stock of mankind. To this day, we read every year Parshas Noach, of how Noach was lying there naked in his tent until his sons covered him up. What do we see? Person, b'derech shel amratzem, b'amolichin oso. Why? Chazal tell us, like we said, the first thing Noach did when he got out of the teva is Rashi says, v'yachal Noach asa atzmoi chulin. He profaned himself by planting this vineyard. And Hashem says, oh, that's what you want, that's what you'll get. And what happens, says Chazal, miraculously, the Midrash says, bo bayom nata, bo bayom shasa, bo bayom nispaza. The same day that he planted the vineyard, there's the same day it grew, he harvested, made the grapes into wine, and drank it, and lay there naked in his tent. All that happened in one day. You can see Hashem says, oh, what you want? Fine, I'll help you. Here. He pushed it along, and to this day, we read about it year to year. It's a famous vort from the Gra, and I saw a very nice little addition to it. That's as follows. Once again, we have a difficulty in way Hashem dealt with Bilam over here. Why? First, the Kodesh Baruch Hu again, like we said, tells Bilam, yeah, if they come to you, Mikrolacha Bawa Nashim, Kum Lechitam. Says, go with them. Fine. So, they came, and the next morning, and Bilam said, yes, fine, let's go. No, V'yelechim Sarei Moav. So he went with Sarei Moav. Is that okay? Yeah, Hashem said, Kum Lechitam, go with them. So he went. V'yelechim Sarei Moav. Next pasuk. Pasuk Kaf Beis, Vayichar af Elokim ki holechu. Hashem got angry that he went. Why did Hashem get angry that he went? Didn't Hashem just tell him not a minute ago, but told him, if they come, these people come, kum lechitam, go with them. They came, he went. Hashem got angry, why did you go with them? Oh, Hashem got angry. Yichar af Elokim ki holechu. Why was Hashem angry? He told him he should go. Famous question, famous answer from the Gra. The Gra makes a chiluk between the word imo and ito. They both mean with him. Imo with him and ito with him. What's the difference? That the word ito, mashal leman davar domer, let's say you're sitting on a bus. So, you're in a bus from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. And can you say that this guy across the aisle, who you have no idea who he is, he's going with you to Bnei Brak? Yeah, you're both sitting on the same bus, and it's going to Bnei Brak, so you're going with him to Bnei Brak. But you're with him, but not mamid, you're not going for the same purpose. You happen to be sitting next to the guy. However, if you're sitting with your good friend, or a person sitting with his wife, and going to a chasen in Bnei Brak, so then you're going not imo, but ito, with him. Excuse me, not ito, but imo. Imo means not only you're going physically, but also for the same purpose. That's imo. Memeila, that's the answer to the question, says the Gra. That Hashem says, look, you want to go to Balak, he wants you to curse the people. I don't want you to curse the people. You want to go to make money because he's going to pay you to go. Fine. If you want to go for that, you can go. Kum leich itam, not imam, but itam, means you can go, but not for the same purpose that they want. They want you to curse, you shouldn't curse. As the pasuk continues, "Vachesed davar she'ad the be'alech otzot tased." You're not going to go cursing them. You want to go, you can go, but don't be with them in their saying the same purpose as them. But what happens? Says after that, "V'yakam bilam aboka v'yachavosh es asano v'yelech im sari moav." Bilam didn't listen. He not only went itam, he went imam with them mamish for the same purpose as they wanted him to go with them mamish. And therefore, v'yicharef Elokim ki holechu, and that's why Hashem got angry. That's a famous vort. It's a nice addition to that. It's the name of Rav Gadi Pollack. He says the following. He says, based on this, we can explain something else. Back by to the Akedah, Akedah Yitzchak, we find the drasha, interesting drasha in Chazal. Pasuk says, v'yikach et shnei naravito. Right, what happened? Avram took two Narim with him. Who were? It's the Chazal say, Rashi brings it, Yishmael and Eliezer. Fine, he brought these Narim with him. Afterwards it says, Vayomer Avraham el Narav, and Avram told Eliezer and Yishmael, Shvu lachem po ima chamor. You guys sit over here with the chamor, and I'm going with Yitzchak. So Chazal darshan, the Gvarn Yivama, Samach Beis, Amud Aleph, and they darshan, what does it mean, sit here, im hachamor? Am hadomet lachamor. That you are like a nation that is like similar to, you're domet to a chamor, you're like a donkey. You guys are like donkeys. So where did Chazal get this from? Says Rapalak the following. It says from the vort of the Gra. Why? It says, Vayikach et shnei narav ito, not imo, ito. Meaning that Abraham went with these two people, Yishmael and Eliezer, but not with them with the same kavanas and everything. He was going to do this tremendous mitzvah of sacrificing his son, and they were coming as an escort, nothing to do, not to sacrifice, not to do anything. So they were going with him, but not mamish with him with the same thoughts. Memela, it was only ito. He took him with ito. Fine. Then Avram says to these two people, Eliezer and Yishmael, Shvu lachem po im. Im hachamor, not es, but im, meaning im. What im? What is the im hachamor? What do they have to do with chamor? That it should be im. It should be es, not im. So Chazal saw from that, since it says im, that they're like chamorim. Yes, they have a lot. They have in common things with the chamor. The mele. That's why it says im. So therefore, Chazal darshan am hodomer dome im hachamor. Bilam told the servants of Balak, he said, "Imitainli Balak malov beito kesev zahav lo uchalav oras piyashem. Even if you give me money, silver, gold, I can't go and transgress what Hashem tells me." So there you find a similar comment made by one of the Gedolim in the previous generations. His name is Rav Tevli Shayer. He's a Talmud of the Shev Yankov, and he was the Av based in Frankfurt. He lived in the time, as we'll see in the B'nai Yeshua. And Rav Tevli was a very, very, very poor man. He was so poor that it's told, it's written actually up in the Hakdama of the Torah Zav in Shir Shirim, right? He was so poor that one year he didn't have food, no food for Rosh Hashanah. He couldn't eat the sudas of Rosh Hashanah. He fasted both days of Rosh Hashanah because he had no food. Anyways, what happened? One day, a rich man comes up to him and says, you know, I see you're suffering. You're a poor man. I'll tell you what. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you tremendous, tremendous amount of money. All you have to do is paskin the way I'd like you to paskin. He says, what are you talking about? He says, listen, I have a shaila. The truth is, it's a machloikis of the Gedolei Rishoni. Some say it's mutter, some say it's aser. And I really need a heter over here. So he says, if you'll provide me with this heter and paskin like the tzad lahatir, then I'll give you a tremendous amount of money. And I can see you need it. So he said, okay, what's the, what, let me hear the shaila. So he told him the shaila. Rav Tevli said, what can I tell you? He says, it's a beferish Ramah. And the Ramah writes on this shaila, v'yesh lahachmir. You have to be machmir. So he said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. The Ramah says, yesh lahachmir. And listen, he says, since the Ramah said, yesh lahachmir, what can I do? Came out of the holy mouth of the Ramah. So if you'll give me all the money, imitenli ish malok beso keser zahav lo chal avores psak osot tzadik. I can't go against the psak of the tzadik, the Ramah. I don't care how much money you give. Reminds me, I heard once of Levinstein, said his mother, Allah Hashem, she used to say that, you know, they're going to come out with this computer program that people are going to, you can type in the shaila and the answer you want, and then it gives you a list of rabbanim you can go to get that psa. Anyway, so that's what happened with this wealthy man, and didn't work though. The Rav Tevli, despite his poverty, said, I can't go against what the Ramah says, I'm sorry. He actually went to the Pnei Yeshua and asked him if he did good. And the Pnei Yeshua said, 100%. He says, Chas v'chalila lavor pi osot tzadik. Chas v'sham to go against what the tzaddik Ramah said. He says, Yesh la'achmer, Yesh la'achmer, and finish. As it happens, this rich man didn't give up. Story goes that he went to another Rav and offered him the same deal, who couldn't resist, and he accepted the money, gave him the heter, but that same year, the Rav was nifter. The proper, therefore, way we have to deal and look at the gdolim of the previous generation is with awe and respect, and to realize that these are people, these are gdolim that we have no hasaga, we can't even imagine their greatness and understand what their greatness. Rav Yosef Lisatzal, he's a Talmid Chacham, he's very close to the Brisker Rav, the Chazon Ish. He used to say the following, bring this point out. He said, the Chafetz Chaim wrote the Mishnah Berurah, we're all familiar. How long did it take him to write? Anybody know? 28 years. It took him 28 years to write the Mishnah Berurah. During his writings, he had to travel to Warsaw at one point. And all of a sudden, he gets an urgent telegram there and says that your son, Avraham, who was at the time around 20 years old, a big Ilui, big genius, and that he got a telegram that your son is very ill. And it's getting worse and worse from day to day, and you have to come quickly home. So, Chafetz Chaim did so, packed his bags, and immediately rushed home to Radin. When he got home, he arrived... seeing the people coming back from the Levaya Nebuch of his son. It says that Chafetz Chaim commented, he said, Ribono Shel Olam, shebelibi shebo avti Avram. He said, that portion in my heart that I loved my son Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani moser la'avatzcha. I am now giving that portion over to the love of you. Accepted the din. Remember, the story goes that afterwards he went into the Beis Midrash, he gave a clap on the table and said, Satan, Satan! He says, you think you can stop me from writing the Mishnah Berurah? No, you should know I'm going to continue. And so he did. After that, another tragedy happened. He had a granddaughter who was engaged, and Nebuch, she was also nifter. Again, the Chafetz Chaim screamed out, Satan! No, I'm going to continue writing. You're not going to stop me. And sure enough, he finished Mishnah Berurah, 28 years. That's part one. Later on, towards the end of his life, when he was an older man, Chafetz Chaim made the decision he's going to come to live in Eretz Yisrael. He made all the plans, they already built for him a house in Petach Tikva. He has a house in Petach Tikva ready to go to. And just as he's finishing off all the last preparations for his aliyah, all of a sudden, his wife, Nevech, gets sick. Chafetz Chaim said, no, obviously it's Min HaShemayim. Shemayim doesn't want me to come to Eretz Yisrael. And he stopped his plans and didn't come, as we know. So, two Maisim. So, asks this Rav Liss, that's all. He said, one second. Why is it that when the Chafetz Chaim was writing the Mishnah Berurah, and this tragedy happened, lost his son, lost his granddaughter, how come there's, stop that, you're not going to stop me, and he kept going and going and going. But now, when his wife got sick, all of a sudden it's okay, Min HaShemayim, I'm not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. Why didn't he say, Satan, Satan, you're not going to stop me, I'm going to go to Eretz Yisrael. No, there he said, Min HaShemayim, something happened, tragedy, that's it. So why didn't he say that when his son died? Why didn't he say, Min HaShemayim, I shouldn't continue the Mishnah Berurah? One's a mitzvah, one, they're both mitzvahs. Mitzvah is mitzvah to come to Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah to write the Mishnah Berurah, they're both mitzvahs that he's trying to do. Why in one case he said, Min HaShemayim, and the other he says, no, you're not going to stop me, son. We don't know. It's hard. We can't grasp such a thing. But obviously the Chafetz Chaim knew. Meaning he was a great, great person. He knew when what were simanim from Shemayim, yes, what were where was the Satan involved. These are things that we can't grasp. So he says, how could anybody, therefore, have the chutzpah to look into a Mishnah Berurah and say, I don't know what the Mishnah Berurah is saying here. I'm not so... How can you have a gall, the chutzpah, to think of such a thing? You know what we're talking about here, the Chafetz Chaim? Right? These things are... These thoughts are beyond our comprehension. So he brings that interesting similarity with Avraham Avinu again by the Akedah. It says Avraham Avinu went to take his son to offer him, sacrifice him, as Hashem told him, "Baleu sham leola alachan harim, Hashem amar lecha." Take him and sacrifice him. So Avraham had a kasha over here. He says, "What? Hashem told me before, ki v'Yitzchak ki karei lecha zara, that Yitzchak's going to be the continuation from you. So what's going on over here? First he tells me Yitzchak's going to be my progenitor. He's going to come from, continue my the link." And then he tells me to sacrifice him. Okay, kasha. So he continues on the way to go to sacrifice his son. And the Midrash tells us that the Satan came and disguised himself as a river. And the river started going up the body of Avram and got to his neck. And was about to drown him. But Avram said, no, he didn't stop. I don't care what you're going to do. I'm going. I don't care. I'm going. Until he had to daven for the river to finally disappear. Now, Lachur, what's going on over here? Right? Again, Avraham Avinu, you know, if we would have seen like a little puddle of water, we would have said, I guess I can't go anymore. I'm an onus. What can I do? But here, Avram was up to his neck. And more so, he says, Avram had a kasha, don't forget. He, on the one hand, he had a stira. On the one hand, Hashem told him, Yitzchak's going to continue from you. And then he tells him to sacrifice him. So he could have said, well, here's the answer. Obviously, I'm not supposed to sacrifice him. Here's the river trying to stop me. But no, again, we don't understand these things. Just like we understand the Chafetz Chaim. Can't understand everything. Avraham Avinu was able to know. No, this river is the Satan. This is not the Shemayim telling me not to sacrifice my son. But you need to be an Avraham Avinu to understand such things. It says, the Bilam again commented, even if you'll give me Malo Beso Kesev Azav, the Maisa of Bilam really, really wanted all this money. But he knew that, again, so if you give me all this money, I can't go against Hashem. Alavai, you should give me this money, though. Bilam, the Nefesh Rechava, he really, really wanted every penny. But he knew that he can't go against the Kodesh Baruch. As opposed to David HaMelech, who made the comment, Tovli Toras Picha, Me'al Feizah V'Chesef. Bilam on the money. But we understand that there's nothing greater, nothing worth more money than the Torah. It's a beautiful maisa I can share with you. With Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. Maisa goes, was told by his sister-in-law, Rabbanit Shane, and she said the following, that one day Rav Scheinberg came to her husband, Rav Moshe Shane, and said, I have a request, a favor. So Rav Moshe said to him, what can I do for you? So Rav Scheinberg said, you know, I have to go travel to raise some money for the yeshiva, or for Torah Or. And I'm concerned, you know, when I'm traveling, it's hard for me to learn 100%, and I'm worried about Bittul Torah. So I wonder if you can do a favor for me, just for a week. Can you, do you have some time where you can learn, and can you, like, learn for me? That learning should go towards me, so that the Torah, the Amavatel, you know, you'll be able to give me some Torah in its place. So Moshe Shane thought, he says, okay, I think I can give you a half hour. He says, how so? In the morning breakfast, I have breakfast with my wife, whatever, for a half hour. So I can, for a week, cut it to 15 minutes. That's one fifth set of 15 minutes. And then evening, our dinner time is also about a half an hour. I can, again, for a week, I can cut it to from half hour to 50 minutes, and therefore learn the other 50 minutes, and there you'll have your half hour a day for a week. How's that? So Rav Scheinberg said, oh, wonderful, I appreciate it so much. Good. And that was the end of that. Years passed, and Moshe Shane was nifter. And Rav Scheinberg came to Menachem Avil, to his almana, the sister-in-law. And the sister-in-law came up to him and said, Rebbe, listen, you're a Balchov. You owe my husband, late husband, something. So Rav Scheinberg said, what? What? I don't remember borrowing any money. He said, no. She said, not money. Did you remember when he learned for you while you were away on your trip, a half hour a day? So now, I want you to pay him back and learn. There's a week now left till Rosh Hashanah. Happened to be a week before Rosh Hashanah. A week before Rosh Hashanah. So I want you to pay him back now and learn Le'ili Nishmato every day for half an hour for the next week. Okay. All of a sudden, Rav Scheinberg turns white like a sheet. He says, what? He says, No. No, I can't, he tells her. So she says, why not? He says, no. He says, that wasn't the deal. You don't understand, he said. The deal wasn't that I have to pay him back, because I wasn't borrowing his time. I had asked him if he had any extra time, any free time. So I don't have to pay him back. I wasn't taking away his time. I asked him if he had any free time when he wasn't learning, and he could learn. Because I don't have time to pay him back. I'd love to pay him back, but I don't have a half hour a day. So I knew I wouldn't have a half hour a day to pay him back with. So I never planned. It wasn't the deal. It was just if he had any extra time that I don't have to pay back, because I don't have half an hour. Unbelievable. Scheinberg couldn't spare it. Half an hour a day. His day was so packed with Torah. Anyways, the Rebbetzin starts crying. She says she was not, maybe, oh, she can have a nice close-aid husband with this nifter. She starts crying. Scheinberg felt bad for her and says, okay. He says, I'll tell you what. He thought for a minute and he said, okay, here's the deal. I told you, I don't have a half hour a day. But 5 minutes a day, I think I can handle. 5 minutes a day for the next week, I'll put in Lili Nishmas, your husband. And I want to tell you something, he concluded, that those 5 minutes a day, times seven, those 35 minutes, is worth $1 million. It's worth $1 million, these 35 minutes. So Rebbetzin Shane sat down, and she was very thankful, and she pulled out her calculator. She made a calculation. She said, wait a second, 35 minutes, okay, is worth $1 million. So how much is 1 minute? 28,571 and change. $28,500 a minute is what Torah was worth. So she turned to her children, grandchildren, and says, listen, look what the Rav said. Right? That every minute of Torah is worth more than $28,000. However, at another time, Rav Scheinberg met up with her and said, listen, I want to make a correction. It's not really true what I said. Torah is not worth, a minute of Torah is not worth 28,000. It's worth much, much more. Tovli Torah spicha me alfei tzav v'chasef. So we'll conclude the shir. Something with the brachas. Bilam says, Hashem Elokav Imo Usruach Melech Bo. So the Megali Amukos said the following, that when Balak sent Ishlichim to Bilam in order to get him, bring him to curse Klal Yisrael, this was in Chodesh Elul, interestingly enough, and finally when Bilam came to curse the people, he agreed. That night was Kaftes Elul. It was Erev Rosh Hashanah. And therefore it says that Bilam got up in the morning quickly and he went to go curse the people. Why was he in such a rush? Because he wanted to make sure he does it Dafka on Rosh Hashanah. And that's Merumaz in the Pasuk Lechana Arali. Come and curse for me. Ara, Aleph Resh Hey, is Rosh Teves Aleph Rosh Hashanah, first day of Rosh Hashanah. That Bilam also wanted to make a point of going to curse on Rosh Hashanah. Why? What was so important about Dafka cursing on Rosh Hashanah? Because as we know, that's a time when the Satan is Mekatrek. Satan's, Rosh Hashanah, time Yom Adin. The Satan wants to come in and ruin things for us. So Bilam felt, this is wonderful. I have a great opportunity. I have the Satan with me on this one. So that's why he wanted to do it Dafka on Rosh Hashanah. But what happened? Doesn't work. Why didn't it work? Because Bilam didn't realize that Yisrael has the shofar. And the shofar comes to mevalbil the Satan, as we know. And therefore, Bilam actually said, in the end, I can't curse them. Why? Because Hashem Elokav Imo, Hashem is with him. Usruas Melech Bo. Usruas could be Lashon, Trua, the Lashon of the shofar. I can't curse them because Hashem is with him. Why is Hashem with them? Because they have the shofar, Utruas Melech Bo. Mimele won't be able to curse them. We should all be Zeiche to have all the wonderful brachas instead of all the klalos, and we should zeiche to the ikar bracha, b'kar b'yameinu, of the Mashiach Tzinkeinu, from here b'yameinu, amen.